Once again this evening, I would like to begin by joining with Daryl in welcoming everyone here. If you're visiting with us, welcome. We consider you to be our honored guest, and if you have any questions about the things you hear or see, we hope you'll ask those questions, and we'll do our best to give you a Bible answer. We believe that the Word of God is right and cannot be wrong. It is the perfect Word from God to man. And we believe we'll be judged by it in the last day. We hope you share our convictions. If you'd like to study the Word of God, we're willing to do so. And it is a special privilege to assemble with the saints who work and worship here on a regular basis. Tonight we continue our sermon series entitled, They Never Get Old. We're looking at stories in the Old Testament, some of my personal favorites. Stories that I love to read about and preach about. This morning we looked at 1 Kings 13, the story of the young prophet. Tonight we're going to look at 2 Chronicles chapter 26, the story of King Uzziah. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Let me ask you a question. Can you even imagine being crowned king at age 16? I don't know about you, but when I was 16, I thought I knew quite a bit. But in hindsight, I certainly wasn't ready to be king of anything. Well, imagine at age 16 being appointed king of a nation. That's what happened to Uzziah. Beginning in 2 Chronicles 26, verse 1, the Bible says, "And all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah after the king slept with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper." Here we are introduced to King Uzziah. He was appointed king at age 16 and reigned in Jerusalem for 52 years. Now, brethren, much of his reign was very prosperous. If we were to read verses 6 through 15, we would see that he prospered economically, he prospered militarily, he prospered in development projects. It was as if he had the Midas touch. Everything he touched turned to gold. And the Bible tells us why. If you notice the last line of verse 5, we see the key to his success. "And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper." King Uzziah sought God. And because of that, he prospered. He was blessed. But unfortunately, down at verse 16, this story, like the one this morning, takes a tragic turn. The Bible says, "But when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction." Now you think about that. When he was strong, the Bible says, he grew proud to his own destruction. Here's what happened. The Bible says, "For he was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense." So one day the king took it upon himself to usurp the priest's office. One day he went inside the holy place to burn incense. Now listen to me. King Uzziah had sought the Lord. He knew right and wrong. This was not an accident. This was not something done in ignorance. He knew what the will of God was. He knew that that role had been reserved for the priests. The problem is, he didn't care anymore. As his kingdom grew, his head grew. He swelled up with pride. And before long, he just didn't care anymore. I'm the king. If I want to go offer incense, I'll go offer incense. To their credit, the priests withstood the king. Notice verse 17. But Azariah the priest went in after him with 80 priests of the Lord who were men of valor. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for you have done wrong, and it will bring you no honor from the Lord God." To their credit, they were willing to withstand the powerful king. They didn't turn a blind eye and a deaf ear. When they saw what he was doing, they went and withstood him to the face. King Uzziah, you are out of bounds. You have crossed the line. You have gone too far. You have no business doing the work of the priest. Now, although King Uzziah was already in sin, I am convinced that he still had a choice. God spared him long enough to give him one final choice. He could, on one hand, swallow his pride, hang his head in humility, and beg for forgiveness. "I shouldn't be in here. I've done wrong. I pray that God will forgive me." Or, on the other hand, he could bear down in pride. "I ain't going anywhere." Unfortunately, he chose B. Rather than being humble, he grew even more proud. The Bible says in verse 19, "Then Uzziah was angry." Let me tell you something. It is hard for men to back down once they've taken a position. Have you ever known that to be true? Right or wrong, once they take the position, it's hard for them to back down. Well, King Uzziah had taken a position. It was the wrong position. But instead of being humble, the Bible says he was angry. Verse 19 continues. "Now he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And when he became angry with the priests, leprosy broke out on his forehead in the presence of the priests in the house of the Lord by the altar of incense. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they rushed him out quickly, and he himself hurried to go out, because the Lord had struck him. And King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death, and being a leper, lived in a separate house, for he was excluded from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's household, governing the people of the land." God gave him one final choice. He could exit or he could bear down. He chose B. And as he argued with the priests, the Bible says leprosy broke out in his forehead. Leprosy was a dreaded disease. It was a fatal disease. And under the law of Moses, if you had leprosy, you had to live outside of town, out of the camp. And you had to cover your face. And if someone came near you, you had to cry out, "Unclean, unclean." So if the illness itself wasn't devastating, imagine having to live by yourself outside of the camp. And if anybody came near you, you had to shoo them away. "Get away, get away, I'm unclean, get away." Can you imagine how devastating that would be? Well, this proud king, as quickly as he soared to the highest mountain, plummeted to the lowest valley, he died a leper, and his son ruled in his place. Josephus, a Jewish historian, gives an account of what happened that day in the temple. We understand this is an uninspired account, but it was a tradition of the Jews. He said, quote, "And when they cried out," that is the priests, "that he must go out of the temple and not transgress against God, he was wroth at them and threatened to kill them unless they would hold their peace. In the meantime, a great earthquake shook the ground, and a rent was made in the temple, and the bright rays of the sun shone through it and fell upon the king's face, insomuch that the leprosy seized upon him immediately. So Jewish tradition said that at that very moment, when King Uzziah rebelled against the priests, an earthquake happened. There was a tear in the temple, and the bright rays of the sun shone upon his face. Then suddenly, he broke out in leprosy. I don't know if that's true or not, but based on a passage in Isaiah, there does seem to be evidence of an earthquake that day. But can you even imagine that, brethren? 1 minute, you're this great king. In fact, the Bible says that his fame had spread far and wide. This king was popular. He was prosperous. He had everything going his way. But when he grew proud, he took it upon himself to do the work of the priest, and he died a leper. This man soared to the highest mountain, only to plummet to the lowest valley. The rise and fall of King Uzziah. Now remember, these stories have been preserved for our learning. What are some lessons we can learn from the rise and fall of King Uzziah? Number one, pride. That's the obvious lesson, isn't it? Verse 16, when he was strong, he grew proud to his own destruction. You know, if you could put pictures next to certain verses in the Bible, I think you'd have to put Uzziah's picture next to Proverbs 16, 18. It says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Wasn't he pride personified? When he grew proud, he fell. The Bible tells us in both the Old and New Testaments that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Have you ever wondered why Jesus began the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, with a call to humility? If you've been around here long enough, you know I often reference that. Here you have the Son of God preaching what is arguably the best sermon ever preached. And he began that sermon with a call to humility. Why? Apparently Jesus understood that that was a primary quality of the kingdom citizen. You can't stand tall in the kingdom. You have to be poor in spirit, Jesus said. That word poor means to crouch or to cower. It does not refer to what a man has, but to what a man is. You must be poor in spirit, Jesus said. Think about the Lord's own life. Everything about the Lord's life stands as a rebuke to pride. He was born to a lowly carpenter and his peasant wife. He was born in the city of Bethlehem. And by the way, Bethlehem in Jesus' day was run down. It was a lower class society. There was nothing wonderful from a physical standpoint about being born in Bethlehem. There were times in the Lord's life when he was homeless. Jesus said, "The birds have nests. The foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." The next time you arrogantly scoff at a homeless person, you remember the Son of God was homeless. Your Savior had nowhere to lay his head. He died as a criminal and was buried in a borrowed tomb. Do you think all of that happened by accident? Of course not. That was God's plan. And it stands as a stinging rebuke of pride. Here's another lesson. Respect your role. Uzziah had the right to be king. He had no right being a priest or doing the work of the priest. He didn't respect his role. God has given us all different roles. We have different roles in the church. Not everybody can be an overseer. We're told to submit to the overseers. They are over us in the Lord. They have their role, we have our role. In the home, we have different roles. The husband is the head of the wife, the Bible says. She is to submit to her husband. Thanks to liberalism and feminism, women don't like to hear that anymore. They see submission as a sign of weakness. Really? Was Jesus weak when he submitted to the Father? Are we weak when we submit to our elders? We've got it all backwards. Submission is not a sign of weakness. Submission is a sign of strength. The weak person is the person who refuses to submit. We have different roles, don't we? These are God-given roles. We learn from Uzziah to respect our role. We learn about the danger of power. If we're not careful, with power comes added temptation and a greater possibility of sin. That can be true in the Lord's arrangement. Maybe you have a fellow who is humble and God-fearing until he becomes an elder. Suddenly his whole attitude changes. He acts like Diotrephes, my way or the highway. In the home, husband, I'm the head of the house. And he begins treating his wife like a second-class citizen. Acts like a dictator. In both of those instances, the person has perverted the power. Rather than respecting the power, they've perverted the power. That's what King Uzziah did. He had great power as king. He could have used that power to God's glory. But instead he perverted the power. He tried to take on additional things that he had no right to. I've often used the illustration when preaching this sermon of a small town businessman. He owns a grocery store perhaps. And he's as honest as the day is long. If he overcharged you a penny, he'd run you out in the parking lot. Hey, I owe you a penny. If you've driven off, he'll mail you the penny. But then one day he runs for town council and then mayor. And before long, he's running for state offices. And before long, for national offices. And suddenly that humble, God-fearing man has been corrupted. What corrupted him? Power corrupted him. That's a lesson we learn from Uzziah. Here's another lesson we learn. The danger of digressing with age. Now, I'd like to think that we all get better with age, right? That we're stronger today than we were yesterday. That we're more faithful this year than we were last year. You know, the Bible says that we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we're to mature beyond the milk to strong meat. I would like to think that we grow and get better with age, but that's not always the case. If we're not careful, we can digress with age. Let me ask you a question. When was King Uzziah the strongest spiritually? When he was young. When he was young, he sought the Lord and prospered. But as he grew old, he grew proud and digressed. We need to do some self-inventory. Are we getting better with age? Or are we digressing with age? Here's another lesson we learn. The danger of disobedience. God ain't playing. He's serious. He means what he says and says what he means. He didn't just set forth these different roles for the fun of it. When the king took it upon himself to usurp the priest's office, God didn't take kindly to that. Now God was patient, he even gave him a chance. But when he was disobedient, there were consequences to pay. Why do we think that God's going to be any different with us? as you read the Old Testament, time and time again, he punished people for disobedience. Why do we think he'll be different with us? Are we special? Are we better than they were? Our God is a loving God, but he's also a just God. And if you disobey, he will make you pay. What about this lesson? Those who covet forbidden honors often forfeit allowed ones. Think about it. Those who covet forbidden honors often forfeit allowed ones. Adam and Eve in the garden. Think about it. God blessed them with this beautiful garden, the Garden of Eden. And God said, you can have it all except this tree. Rather than enjoying the beautiful garden, what'd they do? They started coveting that forbidden honor. When they coveted the forbidden honor and ate of the forbidden tree, what happened? They forfeited the allowed honor, didn't they? God kicked them out of the garden forever. If they'd have just been content with what God authorized, they would have been fine. But they wanted that one thing they couldn't have. Isn't that true of King Uzziah? He was king. And as king, he had everything. He was prosperous. His military was strong. He had everything. But he couldn't do the work of the priest. He coveted that forbidden honor. And in so doing, he forfeited the allowed one. And then finally, isn't there a lesson to learn here from the courage of the priests? Can you imagine standing before someone like a king and saying, you're out of line, you've done wrong, you've transgressed the word of God? Who do they think they are? He's the king, right? Would we have the courage to do that? Would we have the courage to withstand a president if we had the opportunity when he's in sin? Or a king or a governor? The fact of the matter is, we can't even share the gospel with a neighbor. We're too scared to do that. They might say no. What makes us think we'd have the courage of these priests? Brethren, there's a lesson to learn. Don't overlook it. The Bible says in verse 18, they withstood King Uzziah. They loved God more than man, even themselves. I suppose if God had not intervened, maybe the king would have put him to death. But they valued their relationship with God more than life itself. They withstood the king, the Bible says. That's the courage that all Christians should possess. Brethren, these stories never grow old, do they? I love them. I preach these sermons in meetings all across the country. Jill might get tired of hearing them. I don't get tired of preaching them. These stories have been preserved for our learning. There are valuable lessons. And if you're asking me, they never get old. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not a child of God. What good are these lessons if you never submit to God and to Christ in the first place? Why not start your spiritual journey tonight? Why not come believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God because He is the Son of God? But understand that Jesus Himself said, you must repent of your sins, you must confess your faith, and you must be buried in the waters of baptism. If you'll take those simple steps, you'll rise up having contacted the blood of Christ, born again. All of your past sins will be forgiven. And if you live faithfully unto death, He will give you a crown of life. Jesus did the hard part so you can do the easy part. He died that you might live. Are you going to tell the Son of God no tonight? Are you going to refuse His invitation? Listen, this isn't my invitation, or even this church's invitation. This is the Lord's invitation. Are you going to turn Him down? Maybe you've taken those steps, but you sinned publicly. Maybe you fell back into the world and now you're ready to return. Sinner, come back. Come back right now as together we stand and sing.